here at the Old City Swans.
Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods, a fan podcast of the Sydney Swans Football Club.
So to all you loyal Swans out there, just can't get enough of the red and the white.
Fluff up your tail feathers and settle in for a potentially biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods.
G'day there, Cygnets and Swanlings. You're joined as always by the Sydney boys at The Bevy of Bloods. I'm Chris and this is Noddy.
That's right, you lovely loyal Swans. In this episode, we're going to have a chat about opening round in which we had our first official game of the year against the D's. And remember, if you like what you hear, give us a follow, or if you have any comments, send us a message. Okay, let's get stuck in.
Beautiful, mate. With the score recap last Thursday night in front of over 40,000 fans at the SCG, our beloved Sydney Swans defeated the Melbourne Demons by 22 points with a final score of 12-14, 86 to 9-10, 64. Well, mate, first impressions, Noddy. What did you think about that game, round 0-1, whatever you want to call it? What did you think about it?
what an epic event. Just the hot, like the 150th milestone celebrations, the guard of honor walking from HQ to the ground, all the presentations, the celebrations, the past players, the legends of the club, the massive crowd, the Grundy and Jordan debuts against their old club. It was just such an epic night.
They were the best defensive team and we were the best pressure team of 2023, and both teams were missing several starters, of course. It was a very humid night in Sydney. That showed on the ground. It was always going to be a close game. It was close for three quarters until we really stood up in the fourth, and of course we know everything about our fourth quarter fade outs, and this time around it was really special for us to avoid that and clear something out off the air straight into round 0/1. A big showing by a handful of players, but also our role players did their job, and we're going to talk about every one of those.
So what does this result mean for us, mate? I know it's only opening round, -0, round 0, but what'd you make of that?
Look, it was a special game, I guess, mostly, as you mentioned there, for Grundy. There's a big redemption story for him. Stage one of the redemption story is done, with stage two, of course, to happen next week against Collingwood. Of course, they're going to unfurl the flag next week at their home ground at the MCG. What's two for two for us in the last couple of years of having to be there for that. So it is what it is, but it's going to be a special, special game. And Collingwood and the D's back-to-back, I think, is a fantastic way to kick off the season, given we have expectations. And I'm really excited to see where we end up.
Matt, I think I heard Horse say no other team plays two top four teams, or, you know, I guess from last year in the first month. So we've got a pretty tough run. We've got Essendon after obviously Collingwood this week. We've got Essendon at home, Richmond away, then West Coast and Mount Barker for Gather Round before our first bye. So winning that first one first up really, you know, gives us good momentum. Obviously we're going into the Cauldron, you know, this Friday. But, you know, thereafter, I think we're pretty good to have, you know, pretty good showing, you know, against these teams, especially who would have seen the Suns beating Richmond like they did. But anyway, it was bloody, bloody great to get a win first up. And yeah, and the way in which we did it was fantastic as well.
Couldn't agree more, mate. What was your key stat for this week? What did you see?
This is a funny one. It was kind of simple. It's our effort in the second half.
Yeah, sure.
In general, probably more pointed towards the fourth, but I think you can include third as well, even though Melbourne did get a little bit of a run on in the third. But if you compare disposals and contested possessions in the first half to the second half, it's really stark. We're minus 28 in disposals, minus 21 in contested possessions in the first, and then we're plus 32 and plus 22 respectively in the second half.
Wow.
So we just, you know, we played a simple game. As you said, it was wet. I think we just surged it forward, moved it forward. I think Horse calls it a straight line game. And I think, you know, I think that's where we did it. On top of that, we were plus 11 in the clearances, and that is something I never thought we'd be able to say against a star-studded midfield unit like the Demons have. But, I mean, that's the power of an all-Australian ruckman coming in and also taking the chocolates. How about you, mate?
Yeah, look, I agree with all of those. The tackles were also an important item. We lost the tackle count for the first three quarters, and then in the fourth we were plus 9. Again, to your points there, these are all items that are quite important to the way we wanted to kind of play going forward, and they're all kind of being addressed in round one, so call it exciting. In the midfield, it was particularly interesting. Of course, we're missing some of these key players in Parker, Mills and Adams through the midfield. A lot of experience between those characters. But so we had a bit of a different look. So center bounces percentage-wise, of course, Brody was there the most at 83% with Hayden McLean obviously holding up as well when he wasn't there. It was Chad Warner at 75%, followed by Isaac Heaney at 58%, then Goulden at 54%, and then Rowe and Papley after that. So a very different looking midfield with Chaddy and Isaac taking most of the run through there with Goulden. So it was a particularly interesting one. And look, there are experienced heads there. Of course, Isaac and Tom Papley are big in the midfield. Like they've been there around the game for a while, but to see them taking like the lead as the leaders, as the experienced heads was interesting. Warner, Goulden and Rowe are a very young core. Juzzy and James Jordan, of course, younger characters, and also had a run through there as well. So it was a really interesting to see how our midfield was holding up. And yeah, against that star-studded one, as you mentioned there, it was really, really big.
Mate, we looked great. What was your crunch quarter, mate? Like where do you think where the game was won?
Yeah, look, first half, it was close. It was a lot of back and forth. Of course, it was stamped by that goal on the half off the back of that. I think it was a bit of a dubious free kick into a mark of around 30, 35 out to get them to kind of match it all up. So that was kind of interesting. But then it was all about the third quarter. Melbourne looked like they were getting it done. We weren't kicking straight and it started really scaring me. But that fourth quarter and some of the players that kicked in, and we'll talk about that, it was superb. It was, I know how you feel about this, mate. I know how all the fans are feeling about our fourth quarter fade outs last year. It was really concerning. I did not want to go down that path again. But to see, like, we say they're experienced, but they're young. We're talking Warner, we're talking Goulden, these Rowe, we're talking these young players that really took it upon themselves to make it happen and get something going.
Yeah, look, it was eerily like the last game of the year last year, except obviously they ran away from us in the end and beat us by like 21 or 22. So it's kind of like the reverse of that. But, you know, obviously this is not necessarily to do with the crunch quarter, but like, you know, I think the talk going in, obviously this season, the end of last season, Buddy, you know, once in a lifetime player has finished his career, and we've got these three young talls and obviously had a fairly decent preseason, and they rolled out again in this game. And I think they were probably, you know, affected by the conditions on the night. You know, it's a pretty tough gig to, you know, try and take a contested mark when it's like a bar of soap. But, you know, I think McLean and McDonald came into the game a bit better than Party did. But, I mean, he tried hard and he had some moments as well. But I think the sub of bringing Wicks on when we did, it actually was really clever and provided a lot of extra leg speed and pressure in the inside 50. And talking about pressure inside 50, Mr. Fix-It Fox, the fantastic Mr. Fox, who can do everything, his new role as a pressure forward is looking good. Really, really good. I mean, just him as another body in there chasing players down was fantastic. Great to see. And Lloydie as well, who was in playing almost, as Polly put it, a defensive wing role. And, I mean, we know what he can do. We know how reliable he is back pocket and kick-ins. But, you know, I mean, that just goes to show the evolution of the team and the younger players are taking more responsibility. And we've got these old heads, bodies with games, right, that are playing different roles. And that's giving us a point of difference as well. And I think it was fantastic, mate.
Yeah, loved it, mate. What did you see? Is there any big plays or missed opportunities throughout the game you saw?
Oh, look, I don't know. There were some real highlight reels in this game, honestly. Like Ollie's first goal of the season, the little flick pass to him, and then he bananas it through from 50. I mean, that was awesome. Papley's goal in the first, that was incredible as well. How about you, mate?
Every time the Liz grabs that ball and gets even a smidgen of space, you can feel every Swans fan is excited. And I think it was even Robbo mentioned in his press conference yesterday, which we'll talk about in a moment why he's mentioned. But he was like, sometimes you don't know whether you're just in the way with Lizard. You don't know what he's going to do. And your job is just to get out of the way. And this is kind of energy that absolute chaos. Lizard, the run and gun, two steps, back in, step over, hand over the top, and then just like running. Well, he had like six or eight bounces throughout the game, just nuts, and then sets up Hayward's goal in the third. He's a special kid, and we caught it out in the preseason. A player for this year that we suspect is going to break out even further than what he already has.
It's a good segue, mate. We're going to touch on him in this next section. We're going to do the Bob Medal, which is, of course, in our version of the Bob Skilton Medal. We give out 3-2-1 points for best on ground each game. And this week, Blakey gets one, Heaney gets two, and Grundy gets three. So kick us off with Grundy, mate.
What can we say about Grundy other than we have finally got ourselves a solid elite ruckman? And I know it's only game one, but there's a reason we're being so excited about getting this through the door. He, as Steve-O said multiple times, he is one of the few elite ruckmen genuinely in the AFL, and he was reserved to the VFL. So to see him get a run on, especially against his old side and against his old captain and his sparring mate in training, and the reason why he was held up, it was awesome, and to see him get the biscuits is particularly good. Look, 3 points for Grundy, 22 disposals, 15 contested possessions, 9 clearances, and 7 score involvements, not to mention all the hard work that he did around the ground. So influential in his first game, definitely beating Gawn, which was undoubtedly suggested across the industry that it was Gawn that just couldn't get up and compete. And look, to add into on top of it all, he also got himself a beautiful kiss by a blue bottle in the ear. So just to emphasize those beautiful wingnut ears of him. So that was particularly good. But hey, he wanted to move to Sydney, and the warmer weather does bring in some crazy critters along the way.
That's right. We forgot to leave that out of the promo video to Sydney.
That's it, mate. What about you? What's the next one here?
Mate, Heaney, the Heat, Heans, 26 disposals, equal first for Sydney, 26 pressure acts, second for Sydney, 18 contested possessions, I think, 13 clearances, personal best, 12 score involvements, 7 tackles, 1 goal, 1, like, if that's not 3 Brownlow votes, I don't know what is. But he really stepped up as our main mid, didn't he? He played a really solid four-quarter game. He looked smooth, cutting through, you know, the different lines, very, very evasive. He was on, right? Obviously looks really comfortable playing through the mid. You know, he's run through there before, but he's been playing obviously more of that forward role for us over the past few seasons. And obviously with his output justifying that, you know, like kicking, you know, he's capable of kicking 30, 40, 50 goals. So obviously this is through necessity with those mids out that we were talking about before, but he played midfield growing up as a kid. So, you know, it looked as if it was very natural to him, as in like, you know, that's where I'm going to play for most of the game. But, you know, I think going to that pressure acts and defense, I think he had like more than half of those were defensive pressure acts. So he's obviously doing that two-way running that we know he can do. He's an elite athlete. It was just a fantastic game. And to be honest, it was either Grundy or Heaney for me for taking 3 points. But yeah, just it was amazing to see the Heat on fire. It was unreal, mate.
Love it. Love it. And his highest rated game. Blakey with the 1 point. I've already gushed about Blakey. I don't know how much more I can gush. Fair amount, to be fair. Let's get into it. 26 disposals, 9 marks, 6 intercept possessions, 4 score involvements, and 2 goal assists along the way.
How's that? 4 score score involvements for 2 goal assists. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. He is a special, special kid. And to see him locked up for that long term, he's particularly happy, especially the year after going out there and continually getting it done, which is always a bit of a scare once they got those long contracts. He's a fighter. He's a local boy. And he's, what really gets me and what I'm getting excited about is, and what we saw as well last year during the Richmond game at Gather Round when he was basically the only defender left in the team, is that he'll get it done if it's on the ground, if it's contested, if it's uncontested. If he's screaming back for a rebound, or he's having to go in the air to spoil, or he's having to support, whatever he's having to do, he's being able to do so because of just his size, his skill set, his speed around the ground. So seeing him in full flight, it's just one of those things where he's unlucky to get more points, but it's his position is just back there just doing wicked stuff. And he absolutely shines when he grabs that ball and just goes screaming through the middle. And as Robbo said, just jump out of the way, because he's got a plan in mind. He might not have a plan in mind, but he's making it up and he's going for it. And you kind of give him that room to go with.
Mate, he's unbelievable. He's like a chameleon as well. Like he can change his colours to suit, you know, what he needs to do, right?
I love that.
Oh, you want me to be a key
mate.
Defender? No worries. I'll do that. Oh, you want me to play small? Gotcha. You want me to lace out on an angle that no one saw coming? Cool, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah,
and
whatever
he's
you want.
Unreal. Just, oh man, it's going to be, I hope, touch wood, I think it's going to be one of those years. Obviously, he was in the AA squad last year, and I think this might be the year he steps up, but no pressure, mate.
No pressure. Mate, one last thing as we end the end of the podcast. What do you have?
Oh, we obviously need to touch on Robbo. He got the Rising nomination for opening round. And yeah, I think obviously with the mids out, I think there was a lot of talk immediately to put Sheldrick in. But if you'd followed the preseason games, you would have seen that Sheldrick was in the mix, but he wasn't at the top of the pecking order in terms of midfield. And this is even, you know, while still, Parker and Adams were there. But then, you know, Jordan, with Jordan getting the nod and keeping, you know, a player like Campbell in the mix, then, yeah, I think you could see that. Oh, sorry, and Robbo coming in, right? So Robbo has had such a good preseason that he's forced Fox forward. Like, that's how important Robbo is. Yeah. To, like, Fox was like our second best on ground in the grand final a couple of years ago, right? Yep. Him and Chad, right? So, I mean, this is a 20-year-old player, right? He turns 21 in July, who has trained the preseason down, and I know he's one of Coxie's favourites, let alone the rest of the coaches. But anyway, his game, I'll get onto his game, 19 disposals, 16 kicks at 95% efficiency. Thank you very much. 17 pressure acts, 8 marks and 3 tackles. And what a game. This was his eighth game, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be under 21 by the 1st of January, and you have to have played under 10 games. So that's why he's still able to be part, you know, in the Rising nomination category. And again, I think it was Polly and a few of the other bevy were saying, oh, we thought he was a bit older than that because he looks a bit older, and we're sort of, you know, saying, who does he look like? A little bit like Hennebry. And I think it's just the power of the strawberry blonde, mate. He's just, he looks like what Nick Smith was, or, you know, like kind of like a mix between Rampy and Lloyd, but he's just going to be that long-term Mr. Dependable, can go wherever he needs to, because his junior career was midfield forward, but he's obviously showing signs on the half back there. He's got like an elite brain, a footy brain. Like, he's got time on the ball. He slows down. He makes the right call. You can already see he's doing that Rampy type, like, you know, telling everyone what to do in defense. It's really awe-inspiring, actually. So that he got the Rising nom, I'm not that surprised, but it's a fantastic, you know, acknowledgement of his game and his growing performance. So, yeah, awesome stuff, Robbo. Keep up the good work, mate.
Yep. And Millsy himself suggested that he might have the breakout year this year.
Yeah, that's right.
We interviewed
him
at the 150th. So
that's right. Yeah, you got
off
the scoop,
to a good
mate.
Start, Millsy. Off to a good start.
Definitely.
Mate, I've just got, look, this week we've also got Campbell, the cannon, bazooka, whatever you want to call him, Campbell, 50th game,
Soup.
the Zook. 50th game against Collingwood coming up, so make sure you get around him. We know how much of a competitor he is, and we're looking to him have a big year as well amongst all our really young, fantastic talent. So let's see where we end up there.
I'll just give two more shout-outs, sorry, mate, and this is without notice. I just think it's worth saying that I think Melikan had a good game as a role player, and I think Will Hayward also had a great game. I just want to throw that in there at the last minute. I wish I'd prepared better, but, yeah, I just wanted to add those two guys.
Did notice that Hayward was getting a lot of love from the AFL now that Buddy's not there. But it's going to be interesting to see where that ends up with the way he runs. And it's also, as you know, Noddy, you are the list manager, Baby Beetson. This is his final year in his contract, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. He's out of contract at the end of this year. And so it sort of benefits him to play well. I don't think he's doing it for any selfish reasons. I think he's a team first player, but you know, he's from South Australia, and I think it was Kane Corns who was just like salivating, right? I think he's got grand plans to pull him back to Port, I guess, but that's pretty much everything, every angle that Corns has. But
it's always going back to Port Adelaide somehow.
That's it. It's always about Port, mate. But yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. We'll keep talking about that over the next weeks, because all the trade plans are happening now as we head into the early parts of the season. Pretty much by the halfway point of the season, all the decisions will be made on who we're going to go for. So, it's only we finished opening round. We're on to round one, and it seems silly to get ahead of ourselves, but really it's happening now. So, we'll talk about it each week in the potty if there's something that comes up. I think there was talk about Zerha being looked at, I guess, for that type of Petrarca De Goey impact player, which I think is not a bad move. He's around 25, 26. And obviously we've got Parker and Adams that should be there for a few more years, but then you've got that younger core, so to complement them. Yeah. And obviously he can go forward and kick because he's been playing forward there. But the big one for me is retain Logan and somehow lure Jamara in. If we can get those two in with also McLean and maybe Amati, then that to me is a winning forward, tall forward line. But
and also lock up Gordon while we're at it.
Oh, I mean, that to me, said on air, I think he should be 10 years plus a 5-year extension. Just give him the keys to the city. Like this to me is I think he could write his own contract. It's like, give him the pen, there's the paper, what do you want, go for it. That's my position on Gordon, So
write his own check.
We better nip it in the bud, mate, because keep talking about trade stuff all night.
just very quickly, and just more just a conversation of what I think what we also need to be paying attention to. The Hayward's last year in his contract and looking for a new contract for next year is important, just because it's statistically across all sports, every sport under the sun, statistically when they're in their last year, they play their best. It's always the way. And so to see Hayward, I think this year is going to be massive. So keep an eye on him, because he might absolutely blow out. It's going to be really good.
I mean, if he is even a smidge more accurate, he becomes like a top, maybe top 10 small forward, like pressure forward.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably top 10 for sure.
Easy, yeah, like top top 20 with your eyes closed. But like he could push, if he kicks 40 with impact, inside 50 tackles, taking contested marks, all that sort of stuff. Yep. Then
Bailey Fritch kind of model.
He will definitely be spoken in that. But it's going to come down to accuracy, because we know he can, he can be almost 50-50. But that's not a slight against him. It's very easy to do. But if he can sharpen them up, then he becomes
15% more. It's just phenomenal. Like he gets so much more attention across the
ground. Certainly
we get to see him every week. We know the hard work he puts in, but
huge off the ball.
Without the numbers.
It's going to offset the loss of Heaney from the forward line while he's covering in the midfield. And let's face it, if he kills it, why would you take him out of there when these other players come back? We know that Parker and Adams can play half forward. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how we roll on from here. But obviously, we've got to do one thing, take one week at a time.
One week at a time,
as the cliche goes, and we'll take on the Pies at the Collingwood Cricket Ground, as it were.
Collingwood Cricket Ground. I like that.
Yeah.
The CCG.
The CCG.
All right. Well, look, that does bring us to the end of round 0/1 episode. Thank you so much for listening in to the end. If you made it this far, it means we've done something really good. So we'd really love it if you could like or follow us on any of your favorite socials. You choose it.
Otherwise, make sure to keep an eye out for more releases during the week, including weekly teams announcement, as well as a bunch of stuff from game day itself.
We'll look forward to whenever you can check our stuff. But until next time, up the Bloods and can you Swatties?